This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, so I'm going to call this meeting to order. Today is March 1st, 2021. Thank you all for being here today. I think that because people are still coming in, I think we're still a little bit short of potentially a quorum. I'm going to go to announcements first, if there's no objection, and then we'll go to the roll call after that. So my first announcement for today is that the GPSA is seeking a judge for the 3-minute thesis competition, which will take place on March 18th. So normally we have at least one current graduate student who is represented as a judge in that competition. And from what I hear, it's a very enjoyable experience that, and normally in past years, the GPSA presidents have been the person who's a judge on that competition, but I would like to open up that possibility to other graduate students. So if you are interested in learning more, or you're interested in being part of that competition, then please get in contact with me. My NetID is DD567, and I'd be happy to share more information with you about that. My next announcement is just a notification that last meeting we had a charter amendment which was adopted, which would extend committee voting membership to committee chairpersons. This has not been accepted yet by the president. Normally the president has about a month to respond to our adopted resolutions and acknowledge them in some way. And this one requires some acknowledgement before it can go into effect. So for today, I regret to say that committee chairpersons cannot vote yet, but I'm hopeful that by next meeting, we can have that sorted out so that you can begin taking on that position. But for now, it's the same situation as last time. Next, I'd like to notify everyone of elections, which will be happening at the end of the semester. So first officer elections are in the last meeting of the semester, which is scheduled for May 3rd. And that would be elections for the president, the vice president, VP of operations, and the VP of communications. So everyone has a chance to, again, to run again for another term for these positions. I myself will not. But I'd like for anyone who's interested to please start thinking about whether you would like to run for an officer, to be an officer starting from the end of this term all the way into the end of next year's term. And committee chairpersons, except for appropriations and finance, will also be elected on the last meeting, which is on May 3rd. And current chairs can also run for another term. So if you're interested in running again, please start thinking about that now. And lastly, voting members in the graduate school, so that's the humanities, life sciences, physical sciences, and social sciences, will be elected in the second to last meeting of the semester, which is on April 12th. So since this term lasts through the end, until the same point in the next academic year, your organization may wish to elect next year's GPSA representatives before that April 12th meeting, because then obviously you can't run to become a voting member if you're not already a GPSA member. So if you're part of an organization which changes its representatives every year, I think now would be a good time to get in contact with your organization's leaders and arrange for some way for you to select next year's GPSA representatives so that they can start attending that particular meeting. So I just wanna make sure that that's on everyone's radars as we start to look ahead to the end of this spring semester. Okay, so that's all for my announcements for now. So let's now go to the roll call. If we could please call the roll, please. Yeah.
Mila Kantar.
Here.
Jack Levin.
Me.
Matthew Bulch.
I'm here.
Hannah Cole.
Here.
Stephanie Lopez. Paul Vintage.
Here.
Marti Chatterjee.
Here.
Maddie Keefe.
Here.
Tim Ludermoser.
Here.
Jordan Dotzel. Cody Duell.
Here.
Casey Laurent. Chris O'Connor.
Here.
Hannah Bittiger Curtis. Ruth Barankovich.
Here.
Meredith Welch. Charlie Day. Chris Anklin. Natalie Gonzalez. Chen Lu.
Here.
Christine Oanewa.
Here.
Ryan Maloney.
Here.
Amanda Cirillo. Alexandra Pressure.
Here.
And Matthew Drescher.
Here.
We have 15 present.
Okay, so 15 out of a total of 25 seated members that we have quorum for today. Okay, thank you very much. We'll now move on to the approval of the meeting minutes for Monday, February 15th. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been seconded. Are there any objections to or amendments to the minutes? Okay, seeing no objections to the approving the minutes as they currently stand, the minutes are hereby approved. And we'll now move on to the next order of business for today's meeting, which is vacancies and elections. So we have the first two positions which were listed today are elected positions. And then the third one, the DIS chairperson position, is an appointment. These are the last things we need to fill. So the first one we were going to consider today is the University Assembly representative. So as of last week, Cody Duell has resigned his position as University Assembly representative for the GPSA division. So this is now a position which is open for nominations. If anyone would like to run to become a University Assembly representative, you can do so now. The University Assembly meets every other Tuesday in the semester from about 4:30 to 6 p.m. And our next meeting will be tomorrow. So if you want to run and be elected today, then tomorrow will be the next meeting you would have to attend. So would anyone like to nominate themselves or another person to become a University Assembly representative? Okay, seeing none, then this position will remain vacant until our next meeting. And the next position is Masters at Large Voting Member. So this is open to any master's student who wants to become a voting member. Is there anyone who would like to, you would like to nominate? Okay, seeing none, then this will remain vacant as well. We'll move on to the next position, which is the Diversity and International Student Committee Chairperson. Would someone like to be nominated for this position? Okay, seeing none, then this position will remain vacant as well. So, but if anyone has any questions about the work that entailed in this committee, please get in contact with me or anyone on the executive committee. I think this is the last committee that we need to fill. So I think it's really important that we try to find someone who is able to do this. It doesn't have to be a GPSA member. So we'll try to make an extra effort now to communicate these open positions to the community. Okay. So seeing as we don't have any presentations for today, our agenda is a little bit skimmed because we wanted to leave a little bit more time on open forum to discuss potential actions we could take, even though we don't have any resolutions ready yet. So I think now would be the time for us to move into the breakout session by division. And for those of you who would like a discussion question, I have one prepared for you. You don't have to discuss this if you don't want to, but if you want a discussion question, I'd like to hear from you about how you think that the GPSA should be using its reserve funds in light of the fact that students are continuing to submit an activity fee in light of the lack of programming that's going on in person. So the question for you is, how should we best be using these reserve funds to benefit graduate students? So that'll be your question if you want something to discuss, but you're welcome to discuss whatever topics you'd like. So let's move into division breakout now. Okay, so as people are starting to come back in, I just wanted to apologize that the breakout session was so early in the meeting this time, because I know you kind of expect it to happen at a regular interval in the meeting. In the future, I am obliged to go by whatever order the agenda is in, but if anyone wants to change the order, you can. What you can do is you can make a motion to suspend the rules and change the order of the agenda and say, I wanna move this up to this point in the agenda or move this back to this point of the agenda. And that just takes a 2/3 vote for us to do that kind of change. So next time, if you wanna do it a little bit differently, I'll make sure that there's a chance for you to make a motion to do that. But I wasn't able to unilaterally change that order. And I understand that a lot of people did not get the link to the attendance list. I'm gonna post it one more time in the general chat. And hopefully everyone can get it as they're coming in now. And please just remember to fill it out before the end of the meeting. You can do it at any point. Okay, so it seems like most people are back now. So let's move on to the next order of business, which is new business. And the only resolution that was we have under consideration is my own. So I, since Nick is not here to chair, I will relinquish the chair to Kavya. Kavya, would you be willing to chair during this section of the meeting?
Sure. I haven't done this before, so everybody else can please excuse me as I fumble through this. Okay, so we have a resolution on the docket. David, are you going to share, or do you need me to share screen?
I can share a screen if I have your permission.
Yes.
Let me pull up. Okay, can everyone see the resolution? Yeah, roughly? Okay. So if you remember back to last fall, we had a provision in our internal budget which set aside $2,200 for what we said was to help support graduate students' home technology needs. And at that time, we had in mind the Access Fund, but we weren't sure if that particular fund was how we wanted to use that money. So we just sort of appropriated it for a certain purpose, and then we figured we would decide later on how it should be used. And in the meantime, we have spoken with the administrators of the Access Fund about how it's used. And from what we've heard, up to $12,000 was distributed in last fall to graduate students for needs such as emergency travel, for technological needs, for things related to like personal needs, emergency medical expenses, and these sorts of things. And so every person can submit a request for money from the Access Fund, up to $500. And since it was our understanding that this amount of money that we've appropriated would be welcomed by the Access Fund, I would like to propose this resolution now, which officially puts that money to that particular fund. The only catch is that it would not just be for technological expenses, it would have to be for any kind of emergency expense that a graduate student needs. And this is a significantly smaller amount of money compared to what we donated last year at the very beginning of the pandemic, which was something like $50,000. And that was, I think, a lot more than what the Access Fund actually needed, but it was just a lot of money that we didn't know what to do with. So we just submitted it to that purpose and said, okay, since we can't use this for programming, now we're going to use it for, try to give it back to graduate students in some way. So I'm putting this on the floor for us to discuss, and I'd like to hear your opinions on whether you think this should be this is a good use of money at all, or whether I'm not sure the exact amount of money that we have in reserve. I was hoping that we could ask Akarsha about that, but I don't know if she's here. But I thought that it would be, it should be at least a lot larger amount of money than this, because we haven't had a whole lot of spending by the committee so far this year. And if $50,000 was donated from reserve funds last year, I can imagine that at least this year, it should be something on a comparable scale. So I hope that we can, I'm trying to text some people to figure out what that amount is, because I don't have access to that personally, but it should be something, it's at least as large as this. So with that, I will, that's all I have to say right now.
So the floor is open for questions first. For David. Not seeing any hands. Okay, following that, it's open for general discussion. Does anybody have any thoughts, anything to say?
If I may, this would also be an appropriate time for discuss what you talked about in division breakout, if you did talk about how the GPSA should be better using its funds, because we have heard kind of, not complaints, but questions from graduate students about why we need to be having a student activity fee if the money is not being spent on any kind of actual expenses. So Kavya, I see that Cody's hand is up.
I'm sorry, yes. Acknowledging.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so to kind of go into what we discussed briefly in our breakout session. One of the questions that came up was about the sort of timelines for distributions of funds and sort of, I guess, the process in general that these funds are taken advantage of now, since obviously things have changed a little bit from that initial burst of need. With all of the unexpected travel that people were having to make and unexpected need to find housing and the like. So I'm curious if what we know about how quickly these funds are distributed and what the process is for distributing them from the Access Fund now, or if that's changed at all since initially.
I think, I don't know the exact amount of time that's taken for it to be distributed, but I know that the process should be pretty much the same as it was last year. So, I mean, one issue is that I imagine that not a lot of grad students have directly benefited from the Access Fund yet, because, I mean, we're talking about the order of $12,000 and each person could take out a maximum of 500. I imagine at least some of them did take out the full 500, because we're told that they've covered in the past emergency travel, which seems like something on the order, it should be at least hundreds of dollars there. So, I don't know how to find people who have taken advantage of the Access Fund, who would know what their experience was. I mean, I can try and ask about that, but from what I understand, it's at least everyone who has submitted a request has had some kind of response in a short amount of time about that. But I don't have an exact number. Yeah.
Great, thanks.
Yeah.
Hi. This is Akarsha here. So I
Akarsha, okay, go ahead.
Sorry, thanks. So I basically wanted to just answer to one of the questions that David asked about as to how much money we can actually donate. So we did discuss this in our division breakout as well. So the idea was the way the $2,200 was appropriated was by taking a small amount of, I believe, something to the order of $100-ish dollars from each committee's budget and setting it aside. We had discussed that probably after the semester was over, we could see if there were more leftover funds and more could be donated, because we were at the beginning, we were concerned whether, given that activities might restart, we didn't want to take away a lot from the different committee's budgets. So that's so we could possibly revisit how much we can donate at the end of the semester. I wanted to see what David thought about that.
So Kavya, may I answer that, or do you want to move on to Margaret?
No, go ahead, answer that,
Yeah, so I think that it's important to understand that this $2,200 is not an amount of money which is ordinarily there that was taken out of most committees' budgets. It basically, any committee that didn't specifically request for the amount of funding to remain the same. I do think I was actually, this. I still want to know exactly how much we have in reserve apart from this amount to know whether we can actually add on to this amount. I know that $2,200 is not a significant sum of money, but the issue was that it wasn't clear whether the access fund needed a lot more than that particular amount of money. So I wanted to put this forward for us to discuss it and to know, do we want to just donate this amount of money now and then come back to it later to figure out, do we want to add more to this? Or do we want to wait and try to decide exactly how much of our funds we want to use to a particular purpose or to multiple different purposes? So, yeah.
Marthik? Go ahead, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, I have a kind of related question. So my assumption is, I might be totally wrong, that most people who needed tech support or needed to travel have kind of figured things out. But again, things are changing, not at a higher rate than it was before. So there is a chance that we might have a lot of like money that is unused in the access fund. In that case, does that money come back to the GPSA to be redistributed, or what happens to that?
So if I may answer that, my understanding that this is a donation, and so the money does not get to come back to us if it's unused. So I think it's better to, or I mean, my personal opinion is I think we should just, even though this seems like a small amount of money, it's better just to donate what we're sure we're ready to relinquish, because this is already something that we have appropriated for a particular purpose. It's not something that we can just take the $2,200 and then use it for something else, right? So my opinion is that we should donate this amount now, since we've already appropriated to basically this purpose, and then we can discuss how we want to use the reserve funds from there. But yeah.
Cody, you have your hand raised?
Yeah, I was just gonna sort of second what David just said, in that I think it makes the most sense for us to just get this money to the access fund, because we're not, it's not a large enough amount of money that will dramatically affect the operation of the GPSA if we donate it, but we have already said we're donating it. And so it doesn't make any sense to just be sitting here unless we want to add more to it like immediately.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I just want to add that the only reason that this is coming before you guys as a resolution is because the budget did not specifically say that we wanted to donate to the Access Fund. So I need to, that's why we needed to get it as a resolution before we could do that. Yeah.
Anybody else have anything to mention, discuss?
I wanted to add something, Kavya.
Okay, go ahead, Akarsha.
Thanks. So I was wondering what David and others, other chairs of different committees, felt about maybe having a small discussion about, like if we could go over, talk to every committee chair and ask them if they wanted to relinquish more from their respective budgets, and if we could add that right now, what it could be do that.
If I may answer that, that's definitely something that we can do. If the committee chairs who are here would like to opine on that, whether they are willing to make an amendment to this resolution to increase that amount of funds, that's something that we can always increase it, but I don't think that we can decrease it because this is something that's already been appropriated. So if any committees would like to make that move now, you're welcome to do so. But if not, it's not the end of the, it's not too late either, because we can always come back and appropriate funds on an ongoing basis, right?
Okay. I'll give people maybe a few more seconds. Any conversation?
Here, I'll stop sharing my screen now. So, good.
All right. Since nobody else has something to say specifically about this, then does anyone want a motion to vote on this now or send it back to
committee? So I'll make a motion to vote on this now, if nobody has any other proposals.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Okay. So all those in favor?
So just a point of order, Kavya, are we, would you like us to raise our hands to vote or should we do yes and no now?
How would you go with yes? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I think that's 10 for yes. Any no's?
Or I think to be clear, if click the X if no, not the check mark.
Yes, sorry, X for no. Sorry, I have one check. Is that for the previous count? Okay, I think.
Yeah, I think we have to clear the check mark now. Yes.
Yes. And I think Matthew just came in. Okay, so I think that's.
I apologize. I got kicked off immediately as the vote was being taken and tried to rush back on.
All right, okay. So that's 11 for yes. Wendy, did you have a point of order?
Yes, just a quick point of order. If everyone has not updated their Zoom to the most recent version, those yeses and nos only stay up for 8 to 10 seconds. So the raise hand function does stay up until it's actually lowered by the person or cleared by one of the co-hosts. So you might,
I can call for, sorry, let's do this again. Now let's go back and say, if you're voting yes, raise your hand. If there's some confusion. Raise your hand this time, so not a check mark. Okay, we have a count of 12 this time. That's 12 for the yeses, if everyone could lower their hands. Thank you. Lowered hands. Now, if you're voting against this resolution, please raise your hand now. Okay. Two more seconds. All right, that's 12 for, none against. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the initial counts. I don't know how many that's abstaining.
So if it's 12 in favor and none against, and there are 15 here, there should be 15 who are present on the roll call, so it should be 3 abstentions.
3 abstentions, yeah. All right. Great, and so with that, I think the motion passes.
Okay, so may I have the chair back then?
Yes, you may have the chair back, please.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks so much for this. And I think we can continue this discussion in open forum because there are a lot of related questions that probably came up in the division breakouts that we didn't get a chance to get to. But thank you all for taking the time to consider that resolution. And with that, let's now move on to the committee reports. First is the executive committee. Is Nick here at all? Or if either of Kavya or Marduk would like to say anything on behalf of the executive committee, what we're working on.
I can mention that we're talking about both time to extension, also the ITAP, are two projects that we're currently working on. So if there's anything in relation to, so again, for reference, the ITAP is the International Teaching Assistant Program. And extension is the conversation about giving a blanket extension to graduate students who are, yeah, who's had their research disrupted because of COVID. Yeah, I think those are the two big projects.
Those are, yeah, so those are the two main things. I should also add that I am going to be giving a report to the Board of Trustees meeting on March 19th. It's a very short report, but I think if anyone would like to have any particular topics mentioned in the report to the Board of Trustees, then please get in contact with me, because I have to submit the written report soon, but I think the oral report can build upon this a little bit more. I'm just basically just talking about all the topics that we've addressed over this past year, and then talking about several other issues that we want to make to bring to the floor in the rest of this semester. So I'll add that as well. And then what we, Kavi mentioned about the time, the funding extension, time to degree extension, that's something that I'm hoping that we can continue discussing in open forum today. So, okay, so let's move on then to communications. That's Kavya. Do you have anything else to add, Kavya, on communications?
No, that's it. But, oh, so sorry. One thing, we're trying to advertise positions and we'll do it more as the semester goes towards the end of the semester especially. So let me know if you can, if either in the chat or just later, you can let me know how you found out about GPSA. I'll ask this like question later again, maybe more officially, but.
If I could add on that, Kavya, I have heard some organizations notice that they didn't realize they were supposed to be attending the GPSA general meetings. So if you are transferring this position on to a successor, and if there's like a new e-board of your organization, make sure that they know that they're supposed to be attending these meetings too, because I think that's very important. And we're keeping track of the attendance on the attendance list that we send on every meeting. Okay. All right, let's move on to operations. Marduk?
So from since the last meeting, we have staffed student advocacy committee. David Kent is chairing student advocacy committee. And he has done a fantastic job. So in such a short notice to staff it, and student advocacy committee is meeting for the first time on Wednesday. I think it's at 5. Correct me if I'm wrong, David. And if you want to be a part of that meeting, and you're not, please feel free to reach out to me or David Kent. And yeah, I think that'll be a forum where we talk about a lot of like issues about like what matters to student. And I think David has some agenda in mind as well. So please drop by in that meeting on Wednesday at 5. And if you want the Zoom link, email me or David.
Yeah, thank you very much. Finance, Caroline.
Hi, so we've just taken on a vice chair for the Finance Commission. Her name is Megan Highland. And so we have a meeting tomorrow at 6:30, March 2nd. We're also working on an amendment to the guidelines. We just received word that we can no longer distribute alcohol. So there's going to be a resolution that I'll send for the next meeting.
Okay, great, great. And so just a question for Caroline, is the FC still open for new members, or would you like to keep it closed at the members that you have active?
We have enough members currently right now, so we're going to close the FC members. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Next, appropriations, Akarsha. Do you have any updates?
Hi, yeah, so no updates as of now, just a plan, and that goes off from today's meeting. I plan to send an email to the chairs to just remind them if they knew better, and if they knew that they were funds that they didn't need, and we can add them to the access fund, donate more, and I'd do the same thing at the end of the semester as well, so we can just donate more to the access fund. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Akarsha, may I ask one quick question? For next meeting, do you think you could give us an update on what our current budget situation is like at this point in time? Like, how much do we have in reserve? And how much have been used by committee expenses?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So DISC is vacant. So next we're moving, next we're moving on to faculty teaching, Cody.
Yeah, no real update on this. It's the nomination process and the like will be beginning relatively shortly, or the call for nominations. Will be going out relatively shortly, but still that's really the only major news.
So since there's some new members here, do you mind giving just a very brief outline of what your committee does?
Yeah. So the faculty, this is for the Faculty Teaching, Mentoring, and Advising Awards. And basically it is a couple of awards that are given out each year to faculty for their work in teaching, mentoring, and advising. And it's nominated by current and former students. And we basically put out a request for nominations. And then we get to read all these wonderful, delightful letters from people describing why they believe that a particular faculty member should be, should receive this award. And then it's just a handful of meetings over the next couple of months to review these nomination letters and pick a few winners. And then the awards are given out traditionally they're given out at a ceremony. And the ceremony is just a really fun experience. I imagine this year there will not be a ceremony, but we'll try to do something. So that's also, I guess, a point of discussion. It's the best way to go forward. Well, at least there won't be an in-person ceremony, which means no catering. So that's basically no ceremony. But no, that's all.
Does anyone have any ideas right now for Cody and how we can have the ceremony without a ceremony? Okay, well, you know how to get in touch with him if you do have an idea.
And I will be reaching out to those of you who chose the Faculty Awards Committee. Mm-hmm. I'll be reaching out by email relatively soon.
Okay, thank you very much. Programming, Casey? Is Casey here? No, I guess not. So next, student advocacy, David.
I don't have much to add. Our first meeting is going to be on Wednesday at 5 p.m. I put the Zoom link in the chat. And of course, if you missed that, feel free to email me. And hopefully we'll have something fun to talk about next time.
Yeah, thanks so much. And do you have kind of an agenda, or are you going to keep it kind of open for this meeting?
I will have some. There's some distinct items in the bylaws that sort of specify some basics for the SAC. So I want to talk about getting those covered. And then I have some other thoughts. I should have an agenda probably on the website if I can manage it by tomorrow.
Okay, cool, great. So with that, those are all the committee updates. So now we will move on to the next item of agenda, which is open forum. So for those of you who are new, this is the period of the meeting when anyone can speak to the GPSA on any matter that you would like. So would anyone like to start us off for today? Paul.
Hi, I'm wondering, since the Access Fund was accessed so little, is there any way we can get in touch with our constituents or send them to a place where we can get their input on how they would like to use these funds or?
Mm. That's a good question. I think that we can always develop a survey. The question is whether the survey is the right means for us to do that. One thing we could do is we could give homework to everyone to go back to your departments, go back to your organizations, and then pose this question to them. I think, one, do they know about the Access Fund existing? Would they use it if they didn't know about it? If they have used it, what was their experience? And whether they think that there is a better way that we can use our funds to deal with the sort of issues that we think that graduate students are facing. Because I think right now that's just, it's a little bit of an open question, and I think we kind of rely on you guys to tell us what graduate students are thinking. So those would be our two options, really. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Chen?
Hi, David. I'm wondering about whether there's any way to find, to get reimbursement about some event planning expense. So what happened was that the Greater China Business Club organized the Lunar New Year celebration last week at the Johnson School, and we received more than 200 registrations. However, during the event organization process, we noticed that we spent much beyond our initial budget. And normally, if we want to get the GPSA fund, we need to, you know, send the request 1 month in advance. But since we noticed the financial problem in the middle of the process, so we paid everything out of pocket. But I'm wondering whether, you know, there's any way that we can seek additional reimbursement through the GPSA fund, given that we have such a huge impact at the Johnson School.
So what you're saying is you're wondering whether the GPSA can reimburse a particular organization for expenses beyond what it was allocated. Is that right?
Right.
That would be something that we would have to do kind of by a formal motion to do that. And we would have to, you'd have to kind of do a resolution that says, okay, we agree to pay the Greater China Business Club this amount of money to reimburse expenses for this event. That's something we can do. I don't know what everyone else feels about that, but that would be at least the formal process of how you do that. It's not something that has to be like a written resolution, but it's something that we can, because I don't think it's something that we have to necessarily convey to the president, but I think that's something that's at least possible.
Sorry.
But I think, Kavya, you're recognized.
Sorry, I was going to ask to clarify, is this money that like your total budget to your budget, or is this like what you asked for that particular month and got approved for?
So what happened was that I really don't know how to define this. So let me tell you the situation so that we can figure that out.
No, so I guess just to clarify, like you have a total budget cap, right? So your tier could be 1500, 2500.
Yes.
So did you exceed that, or did you just exceed how much you budgeted for one event?
Yeah, it's actually, we assume that we never anticipate we need to seek for, you know, pay extra money to certain service. So basically it's a video editing service. We thought that we have the bandwidth to do it ourselves, but in the very last minute before the event launch, we realized that we need some professional people to help us to putting everything together. So the expense I'm talking about are the payment that we paid to the professional video editing service for the Lunar New Year celebration event. So is that, does that answer your question?
No, so I guess my question.
Yeah. Sorry.
Like, did you exceed how much you got in total from the GPSA, or
no? We didn't get anything from GPSA because so we don't anticipate that we need to spend to invest that payment. But given the event deadline, we paid that out of pocket. But we wonder whether there's any way that we can seek support from GPSA, because normally, if we have enough time, let's say 2 months in advance, we can go through the normal process, right? Notify GPSA 1 month ahead of time, etc. But given that expense is a surprise, so we probably have to we spend that in advance, and then I just want to bring it up and see whether there's any opportunities to seek any possible reimbursement.
So I think the first step would be the FC, because if you have the money in your still, they can then like shift things around maybe. So that would be the FC's decision. Like, I think GPSA would only get involved if you have actually exceeded your entire allotment of money that FC no longer has, and then it would come to us, is my understanding. Sorry.
That would be my understanding too, yeah, because that's why we're asking if you're going over a particular event's budget or over your entire organization's budget, yeah. So how about for your organization, how about we try that first and then, then come contact me if you think that you need to find some other solution.
Thank you for your support. That's awesome.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, is there any further discussion? Not necessarily on this topic. Who has their hand up? Kavya?
Yeah, I just wanted to open it up to people who, I don't know how many of you are graduate TAs, but I was just curious if anyone's managed to get vaccinated so far. This was a question I was just seeing on Twitter where people talking, where certain undergraduates were able to book quicker appointments as opposed to graduate TAs teaching in person. And if that is a flaw in the system where, because graduate TAs are eligible to be vaccinated as they're under New York State law as teachers and educators. So if there is flaws in the system where graduate TAs aren't able to get vaccination appointments, just GPSA wants to know. So I guess if anyone's had any experience with that.
I'm teaching in person this semester and I have not been able to find a single appointment anywhere.
Hmm.
Is that other people's also?
Yeah. Because I know that at least some people did. I have heard of it. It's not like it's, but I don't know what the actual numbers are.
Well, I guess I'm, the first question would be, are people who are in the meeting eligible for being vaccinated if they're okay telling me as a graduate TA? And I don't want to know any, like, not prying into any other personal issues.
It's only for those who are teaching in person, right?
Only teaching in person, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe not that many of us are eligible in the first place, but yeah, that's just something, if you hear other students are having problems, just let get the GPSA know so we can look into that.
Yeah, this is something we'll have to ask about. So, because I am not also, I'm not eligible to be vaccinated myself, so I haven't tried using the system yet. Any other discussion? So Tim, go ahead.
Thanks. So we discussed briefly in our breakout group, and I don't know how widespread this problem is, but a few of the graduate fields in life sciences have been communicating to grad students that TA funding is very limited for next year. And there's kind of a, people are being squeezed, I don't even want to say at both ends, people are being squeezed at like four different ends problem in that, right? People are delayed and need more money because of the pandemic, and the departments are saying they have less TA lines available. And we know this past year that people who did get TA lines were dramatically overworked throughout the year, and additional TA lines might have alleviated that problem. And I don't know if maybe that's particular to our little section of the life sciences quad, or if this is a wider spread problem that departments are having trouble funding everyone who needs to be funded and or providing as many TAs as their courses realistically need. Because it's not just about funding TAs to get people money, but it's also about providing the TAs that these classes need to be effectively run, right? And I guess I was wondering, you know, I know the GPSA has some power to send out kind of mass surveys, maybe just a very short, like, has your department mentioned funding problems for next year? Has your department communicated that they expect to have fewer lines available than people are requesting, and seeing how widespread of a problem it is, or something like that? Just, I have a couple different ideas, but that was maybe a first step idea.
Yeah, I think that would be our way for us to try to figure that out. The question is just whether we can formulate such a survey in a way that would be very kind of objective, so we can get something very concrete from people. I'm sorry, would anyone else like to contribute to this? Ruth.
Hi, everyone. Yes, it seems that, Tim, you are not the only person with the department struggling with this. So I think it's a really big issue that needs to be addressed.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So I think, Morgan, go ahead.
Okay, so I just wanted to add to what Tim had said, in that our department
it is also been communicated that it is very widespread problem.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Anyone else like to share any insight from your field? Maggie.
Hi, David, hi everyone. I just wanted to echo something that Tim brought up, which is just how seriously overworked instructors are, particularly in my department. So I'm in literatures in English, and we have a set number of TA ships available, but for the most part, we are independent instructors of record. So we are responsible for our class in its entirety. Now, thankfully, you know, the classes themselves are sort of limited in terms of how many people enroll in the courses, but it's still the responsibility for those courses is entirely sort of on us. And just the amount of additional unpaid labor that I have seen going into developing courses, both for hybrid learning and for just sort of online learning, has been pretty incredible. I'm sort of been extremely fortunate in that I'm on a fellowship this year, so I have not had to teach, but I am seeing just how seriously and profoundly people are getting burned out and how they are just so exhausted. All of it having to do with the fact that they're sort of under an immense amount of pressure to commit to and perform that additional amount of unpaid labor that, you know, there's no accounting for. There's no sort of institutional accounting for. There's no accounting for in very material terms. And it's just been incredibly demoralizing and disheartening for people, and especially for our teachers. So I just wanted to make that known and clear.
Okay, thank you. Tim.
Yeah, and I think to follow up, thank you for all of that. And thanks, Kelly, in the chat as well, noted that this problem is apparently showing up in the physical sciences as well. I know I personally was not teaching this year, but you know, obviously I have a lot of friends who are, and I know people that had problems with working, you know, 25, 30 more hours a week on their quote unquote 15 to 20 hour TA ships, communicated it to their DGSs, the graduate school, whatever, were told to go up the chain. And the experience I heard consistently from at least two or three different people was basically, they hit a certain point in the chain, usually the DGS or the chair, and that faculty member said, yeah, everyone's working really hard right now, suck it up. And then when they sent that to the grad school said, well, you should only work 20 hours a week, but there was no enforcement, there was no accountability. It was just talk to your department about being overworked. Your department says too bad, and then nothing happens. And that was a problem before the pandemic, right? But it certainly has been exacerbated dramatically this past year. And now we're seeing that there aren't going to be enough TA ships in the first place. The only person I know who got out of the situation got out of it by just for the second half of the semester doing a bad job teaching. That was the only way she could maintain her workload, was that she just admitted to herself that she was going to do a crappy job and did 15 hours a week and not a minute more. And it was worse. And that's the only solution that seems to be available to people right now. And I don't think that's what Cornell wants, but that's where we've been at.
Yeah. So Morgan.
Okay, so I just wanted to add on to what Tim said. You know, so I'm teaching a 20-hour week TA ship, and it's been overall great experience. But I do think that it's really important to point out, like, the undergrad students need us a lot as well. And so making that decision to say I'm not going to work over the hours that I'm supposed to work has a lot of implications. It's a really hard one to have to make as a TA, and I don't think that it's, you know, I think that, you know, all of us care a lot about our jobs TAing, and it is really that a lot of the extra time is because those undergrad students need more of our time.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this is something that I think we're definitely have to try to figure out, because I think that there's a lot of competing pressures going on right now between between the university and teaching assistants. So we're definitely gonna have to get some answers about this. Yeah. Yeah. So I think another topic I wanna get to, which is related to this before the end of today, which was about continuing our discussion about funding and time to degree extension, because there's kind of like the other side of these competing pressures that Tim mentioned. And I think I want to continue the discussion to figure out what do you think is the best way for us to go about developing a proposal or advocating for a particular change. Is it come in the form of someone coming and writing a resolution for us that can then be worked out in something like a student advocacy committee? Does it come in some other form? What do you guys think is our should be a right course of action? I think, Tim, go ahead.
I didn't want to go first, but if everyone's stuck, to be a little blunt about it, I think our best course of action is going to be whichever one might actually affect higher bodies of the university doing anything. And I don't think we necessarily know which ones of our options are the most effective. But if I could ask our administrators of the graduate school, GPSA doesn't have the money to fund whole assistantships. That money doesn't exist. I know everywhere in the university is tight. I know everywhere in the university is struggling with money. But if the graduate school has ideas about how GPSA could most productively affect this conversation, I think they would know better than I which thing is going to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if I can add to that, I think one of the things that we found is most effective to bringing about change is when we have something written that's on the table, not necessarily adopted yet, but which is something which is we kind of have in our hands that we can then bring into meetings and conversations and saying, hey, this is something that we are actually considering and that we, you know, people are actually calling for, not just things that we say here, but actually things that we write down and say. And that's why one of the ideas that I had was that someone could start writing something like a draft of a resolution, but then bring it to a committee and task them with working with different administrators or meeting with them to talk about what is actually causing this issue and what is actually being done to solve it, right? I think that is actually more effective than just writing a resolution and then passing it, because then it just goes right to the top of the chain, right, of the administration. And we don't have a chance then to actually be having the right conversations with people. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? Yeah.
So I know this was brought up, sorry. Can I go ahead?
Go ahead, Kavya.
I know this has been brought up in conversation before. And if anyone wants, I don't want to get anyone into trouble, so I wouldn't give this to someone right now unless they want. But the idea of reducing tuition fees for graduate students, because that's something, because like previous discussions I've had, it's hard for to go to every department and say, hey, ensure that there's enough TA lines for all your students. So short of another pool of money that is funding students that departments can't, another option has been suggested, which is to just reduce tuition. So maybe departments can move around money funding more students through their TA ships, because a large part of a TA ship does go to tuition.
Okay.
Apologies if that was a little complicated.
No, but I'm just saying that that's okay. So that's one proposal. That's one idea. So how do you start getting the ball rolling on a particular set of ideas that can come together as one thing, right? That we put forward. And who are the right people to be working on that? Because I'm hearing what everyone's saying, but I can't write this by myself, right? It'd be nice if one of the committees who deals with these types of issues could meet and develop a draft that we could then look at and say, okay, these are the things that we like or things that are high priority for us. And here are the things which are we'd like to leave out, right? Okay, so if no one has anything else to say on this, I mean, you're welcome to change the subject, but I think that for this topic, I think this would be a good thing to discuss in the Student Advocacy Committee as a good place. And then it'd be nice if people who are interested in this could go meet in a smaller group and then bring to us some ideas that we can then discuss and vote on. Then that would, I think, would be the logical next step, I think, for this. Okay, are there any other topics that people would like to discuss today? Kavya.
So I just want to throw this out there, and I know it's long, so I don't want to hold up too much of people's time, but for people, especially those whose funding is heading to particular advisors or labs as opposed to TA-ships, how easy is it within your department to switch labs? And the context of this is like the conversation about having additional funding for students who might want to switch labs in between but are afraid to do so because they would lose funding.
Mardik?
Yeah, Kavya, thanks for bringing that up. I think it's a very important issue, especially for students who are kind of like pre-A exam or even post-A exam, depends on the department and the situation. I know of a lot of students in my department, in other departments, who had to change labs because of very toxic relationships with their advisor. And then in the best case scenario, another lab would take them, given that they have the funding to support that student. In the worst case scenario, the student had to leave the program because they had no other options and they were an international student, so therefore leave the country as well. So this keeps happening on, and it totally depends on the student. It totally depends on the department, the faculty who wants to take that student. Even if they want to take that student, if they have the funding available to support that student. So I think in one of our board of trustees meeting, not board of trustees, sorry, executive committee meeting with student elected board of trustees, the former and the present board of trustees, I brought this up that it would be really great if the graduate school can come up with some form of transition pool of money where they can support the grad student for like a 10-week rotation or something like that while they're transitioning, so that they all of a sudden don't have to leave the program or like quit grad school or like be in a lot of panic, because it leads to a lot of frustration for the grad student in concern.
Kavi, did you want to follow up on that, or do you?
No, I mean, this is just again, very initial stages. So if you hear back from other students or you want to talk to me about it, just email me.
Yeah, this is something that we've had discussions with in the executive committee for a while, and I think related to this was the topic of whether things can be done to prevent situations of having to transfer labs in the first place. Like if people can have better understanding of the advisor relationship within the labs. I mean, I come from the humanities, I'm not really sure the dynamic, but if there's a way that we can try to have more people who are more advanced in their degree be able to talk in a more private way to people earlier on about the types of the quality of the relationships they're having with in their labs, I think that would also be another kind of solution to this, right? Mardik? Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
No, sorry, I kind of zoned out. I'm sorry about that.
Is there anything other discussion? If not, then we can wrap up now, but I just want to, any last calls for questions or comments? Go ahead, Marvick.
Something in line with what Kavya brought up about vaccination. So maybe we can talk about it in the exec body meeting. As far as I know, anyone who is TAing in person or mentoring in undergrads in person in the lab are eligible to get vaccinated, and you just have to make a petition. And Cornell, so far in my knowledge, have approved everyone who are in those criteria. But there is a problem about vaccination location. So there is there's virtually no appointment in Ithaca at any time. So you have to either go to Syracuse, Binghamton, Albany, Rochester, bigger cities essentially. So it might be very difficult for TAs who don't have a car. So maybe we can, as a community, try to spread this word that you can get vaccinated if you're in-person TA and come up with some form of community transportation service, or maybe even ask the university if that's a possibility. That would be great.
Wasn't Cornell trying to petition the state to become, to administer vaccines directly on campus? I mean, is that something that we're kind of hoping we'll actually get through to solve this, or is that something that hasn't been resolved yet, probably? I don't know if anyone knows. I mean, if so, that would presumably be, Kathleen, go ahead.
I know very, very little. Mostly Cornell Outdoor Education has been continually reiterating to rock climbing instructors that they're hoping at some point to use the Ramen Room as a vaccine distribution center. So that's definitely underway, but we have no word at this point on any timeline for that.
Okay, okay. Nick?
Hi. I'll step in about the vaccines just to give some context. So I'm a vaccinator for the county. Well, not ours, because Tompkins County doesn't want volunteers, but that's a whole other story. They don't have any plans in Tompkins County for bringing more vaccination distribution sites in Ithaca. So unless Cornell can specifically influence New York State or the county, we're kind of stuck with the 1,000 vaccines per week that we get at Cayuga Health Center, and those are almost impossible to get. So I would say it would take advocacy on the university's end to get more vaccines to Ithaca if we wanted to bring them closer to students, or if not, what Marduk and Kavya suggested about bringing the students to the vaccines, then finding ways to get people to Syracuse and Binghamton.
Yeah, Marduk?
Sorry, I didn't realize I have my hand raised.
Oh, it's okay. So those would be our two options then. Yeah, and I think that we should try to pursue both to the extent that we can. Any other questions or comments? All right, seeing none, I guess we can wrap up now. I think we still have 5 minutes left, but I think we can wrap up at this point. Thank you guys so much for being here today and for contributing to this discussion. I look forward to hearing how the SAC meeting will go on Wednesday. And I look forward to seeing you all again in 2 weeks' time. So with that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.